Township, City of Daytona Beach, Special Magistrate Proceedings. Will all those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying in accordance with proceeding, please step forward and sworn.
Your Honor, this is the testimony you're about to provide, which is the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Thank you. I review the minutes of the April 13, 2010 meeting and have approved them. I review the minutes of the May 11, 2010 meeting and approved them. We're going to take a couple matters out of order just so we can dispense them quickly. Case number 30. Loggerhead Daytona Marine LLC. Am I understanding we have a court reporter present?
Yes, sir.
Would that be you? Okay. We're doing this so we can get you out of here. It's my understanding we have something of a stipulation.
Yes, Mr. Vitale. We received a letter, and I don't think we have a copy of it right now, from the attorney asking to stipulate. And I don't exactly remember the reason, so I have to look to the...
Yes, the attorney that was representing Loggerhead has a scheduling conflict.
Right, I recall now. Yeah, he had a mediation that was in conflict and asked if we would continue it. And we know normally what we would do is wait until we come here and ask you that, but because this case involved witnesses and even a court reporter, it was something that we intended to get back with them and say, based upon knowing that typically when there's matters in court or mediation, so things like that, that you in most cases would probably go ahead and grant the continuance. We were willing to stipulate to the continuance. I don't think we ever actually did. You ever get any contact with them? I don't know if we ever had any actual contact. However, even today we have a court reporter that appeared, and while we made an effort to and Stanford and Speck, we made an effort to get a hold of the witnesses, we weren't even effective in doing that.
Correct.
All right. Is there anyone here that wanted to be heard on the matter of Loggerhead Daytona Marina LLC?
Yeah.
Step forward.
And just for clarity, for the record, just from confirmation from my paralegal magistrate secretary, our office did speak with the left a message for the attorney's office saying that we would be agreeing to the stipulation, and did also call and speak with the witnesses, Ms. Smith, and told her that we would be continuing it, so we weren't anticipating Ms. Smith being here.
Okay, so the prospective witnesses that you were aware of were contacted and told that there was a continuance requested?
And I'd ask for some clarification from Ms. Hampton on it.
I spoke with Ms. Smith last week and said it would most likely be continued. That there was a continuance request.
Okay. If you would please step forward to be sworn. I'm sure this is going to be quick.
You solemnly swear that the testimony
you're
about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir. Ma'am.
Would you please state your name?
I'm Patricia W. Smith.
Donald W. Smith.
The attorney representing the respondent in this case had a conflict with this morning's hearing and has requested a continuance. Typically, we grant these continuances. So, understanding that you're here, I am inclined to grant this continuance. You can either return at the next meeting, or since you're here, if you want to speak your piece now, I'll hear you now. So I'll defer to you. What do you prefer to do?
Shouldn't we wait for the next meeting? Because
yes, we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, I know it's fair. An inconvenience because you come down here, so I want to give you that option.
Well,
we knew the continuance would be at your option, sir. Possibly. So. Yes, so that's why we came.
All right, and our next meeting is July 13th. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and grant the respondent's continuance. Case number 30 will be continued to the July 13, 2010 meeting. And, of course, you're more than welcome back at that point in time to be heard.
Sure. We'll be back.
Yes, sir. And also, I don't know that the need will arise, but there probably won't be another continuance.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that they make the effort to come down and be heard. I'll continue at once as a matter of courtesy.
Yes.
But then the next time we will proceed. Okay.
It's good. Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And now we're going to go to the miscellaneous business portion of our meeting because it's my understanding we have something of an agreement on this issue. Can somebody enlighten me?
Yes, Mr. Vakelja. You may recall that this is a case where we had a respondent who had come in and had informed the magistrate and the staff that there had been a agreement with a bank where the property that she had owned was there was a deed in lieu, and that we released her from the property and from the case at one point and added the bank. There was an actual exchange of a deed. But the bank ultimately concluded that they were not going to grant the deed in lieu and was returning the deed to the owner. However, somewhere in the mix, there was an error where the deed was erroneously recorded because it had a similar name to another deed that the bank's attorney was working on. The last proceeding we had, the bank did not have a representative. We had received from the bank an indication that they had quit claimed the deed back to the previous owner, but we did not have any type of clarity as to whether the previous owner had ever actually received, accepted, acknowledged receipt of the deed, and whether it was acknowledging themselves as the owner or whether there was some type of dispute. And in some sense, it was reasonable to conclude that the circumstance was that the properties that the bank had now put itself in the chain of title. However, clearly recognizing that everything that had been submitted to us has indicated that it was nothing more than a recording error, was remedied. We received an affidavit that the bank had obtained from the previous owner acknowledging her receipt and acknowledgement of ownership and continuous ownership of the property. And for that reason, we believe it would be proper to vacate the previous order. What we did at the last meeting was we went ahead and imposed a fine that included the Regents Bank. And so we believe it would be proper to vacate the fine as it affects Regents Bank. And I'm not clear from my note. I don't have it in front of me, so I'll ask for some clarity from the board secretary, magistrate's secretary, on whether or not the owner is now showing as one of the respondents in the case, Ms. Martin.
She's on the case file. We added her as a respondent.
And so she is covered under the current
order of closing
findings? Yes. And she was noticed to the prior one. Whether or not we did not have this affidavit, so we didn't really understand or had clarity as to her status, but she had been noticed and she did not appear.
Well, I see her listed on an affidavit of noncompliance here, so I assume that means she's a party. And so I'm assuming whatever order was entered or fine was imposed is applying to her equally. And so what you're looking for is you're telling me we've already entered an order imposing fine.
Yes. Yes, it was as to both.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I don't have that order in front of me, but I'll go ahead and this affidavit?
Yes.
Okay. All right, then, based on the affidavit that we've received and the representations by counsel for the city, I'm going to vacate that portion of the order imposing a fine lien under May 11, 2010 as to Regions Bank, DBA Regions Mortgage, and dismissing Regions Bank, DBA Regions Mortgage from this case. Is that correct?
That's correct. Counsel, thank you very much.
Okay, now we return to our first case, which is a lien review request. William Barrow and Debbie Frazier, Woodley Investment Company.
Morning.
Counselor, if you would just state your name for the record.
Larry Sims.
All right. We have a notice of violation going back to 07, dorm living, order of noncompliance, David of noncompliance, order imposing fine, $250. One-time fine.
Whenever you're ready, I'm happy to give you some background.
Okay, let's start with our inspector. What did you want to say with regard to the lien review request?
As far as the lien review, the fine was imposed. We had no contact from the owner, and obviously the fine ran and ran and ran until the new owner came on board. The city was like that for 25 minutes.
And the total amount is currently what, $72,000 and change?
Yes,
almost 73,000. All right. Okay, what say Mr. Sims?
I submitted some documentation to, I don't know if it is there in your package. I'm hoping it is. I think you might have seen it. This is a fine that was imposed against the prior owner. There was a mortgage foreclosure. The mortgage foreclosure began about 2 weeks after the city recorded its order. The city of Daytona Beach, as you know, has a super priority lien status, so that liens and violations like this cannot be foreclosed. There was no notification to the mortgagee of the violation, so there was no opportunity for the mortgagee to take any action whatsoever prior to the foreclosure. So this entire lien and the continuation of it was based upon the prior owner's operation of the property. When the foreclosure was commenced, he had already moved out, and so my understanding is that the code violation was that they were operating a boarding house and people were living in there who under conditions that were not approved by the city. The property has been vacant ever since that time, and ever since the foreclosure began 2 years ago, so that particular violation did not continue beyond the time that the city recorded its code violation. As the material indicates there, I gave you a copy of the notice of list pendants indicating when the foreclosure commenced, the certificate of title, and then the current property appraiser valuation in the county records. And of course, the property is worth less than the amount of the lien. So there's no incentive whatsoever for anyone to make any improvements. The property needs improving, needs renovation, needs a new roof, needs bathroom repairs. A general contractor was contacted to begin all of that and to get a permit. There's also item 15 on the agenda, which we would like for you to consider at the same time. And that code violation is that there's no permit outstanding, and the reason, of course, there's no permit outstanding is that the city's lien is more than the value of the property. So until the lien situation is addressed, there's no reason for anyone to do the work, spend the money, which is going to be in the thousands of dollars, to bring this property back up to code so that it can be used. So we would request on behalf of the owner, who is the mortgagee who had to foreclose this property in order to get the previous people out, that the code violation or the penalty be waived because it was entirely caused by the prior owner and the mortgagee had no opportunity to take action until the foreclosure.
Will you be handling case 15 as well?
Yes, sir.
What's case 15 about?
Case 15 is working without permits.
What now?
Working without permits. I spoke with Mr. Sims on site on the day of the violation. I told him about the running fines and the liens on the property as well. They stopped work right then and there. And he advised that he's not going to pursue the permit process until they get the lien and the until they get the lien settled one way or the other. So 15 can't be in compliance until we deal with the interview first.
Okay, so the violation 15 is doing work without permits.
Correct.
But a contractor had been employed and was under, in the process of getting the contract or getting a permit. There's a roof permit that was obtained already, which was the most critical thing because the rain was beginning to cause damage to the interior. So the plan was to, get the permits and do the work. But of course, when we discovered the amount of the lien that was outstanding, we needed to stop until this was resolved.
Okay, well, let's go back to the lien review matter. And it appears as though, you recall when Mr. Barrow and Ms. Frazier vacated the property?
They were not there when we served. We were unable to get service and had to publish. So the foreclosure started. You can see the notice of list pendants that I've attached. There's dated April 24th. I believe your lien review information here says that the order imposing the fine was April 2nd. So that's like 3 weeks prior to that, and of course the lender was not notified of the lien or of the code violation. So, there was no way for the lender to know that the property was in this violation. I assume that the city does not notify lenders whenever they have a code violation because that was the case here.
All right. So, you have dorm living. Notice of violation, December 2007.
Given to the prior owner, who then was foreclosed.
imposing fine is April 10, 2008, and was the owner in the property at that time or not?
I don't know. We started the foreclosure about 2 weeks after that, and so at that time they were not in the property.
The nature of the noncompliance is dorm living, and since I see a number of notices of noncompliance, I can only assume that means the dorm living was continuing. Does that sound about right?
I'm sorry.
Apparently the dorm living was ongoing?
Yes.
Standing the notice?
When I posted the property on 12 September, the dorm living was still there.
12 September of what year?
Seven.
Right. Again, all that's prior to the foreclosure. And the lender had no notice of any of that.
Understand it. The owner continued its non-compliant status at least until April of 2008, when the order of $100 a day was imposed. Sometime after that, the lender starts a foreclosure action, and it's the lender's recollection or belief that at or about that time the property had been vacated?
Yes.
So it's your belief that sometime between after April 10, 2008, the lender started the foreclosure action at that point?
Yes.
The property was empty?
Yes. The sheriff was not able to find them for service of process.
And if I take counsel at his word, which I'm inclined to do, that would mean that at or about the time the foreclosure action was commenced, I suppose the property was in compliance. If he was cited, they were cited for dorm living, and now it's vacant. Is that sounding about right?
That sounds about right.
I mean, I understand no inspection was called for. I understand all of that. I understand this respondent ought to be taken out and flogged, and all that having been said, it sounds as though the underlying wrong, if you will, was moot when the foreclosure action started.
Correct. I agree.
So we would have some time between April 2, when the fine went into effect, until sometime later in April, when the lender determined that the property was abandoned. Okay, and the lender's in the process of improving this property?
As soon as we resolve this issue of the lien, yes.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and order that the fine and lien that was entered on April 10, 2008 be vacated or canceled. Now let's go to case 15. On the basis of what I've already heard, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
Since you've already started your permitted process, let's cut off.
Let's say
when is that? I'm not familiar when the next cutoff would be.
July 7th.
This is June 8th. We can get a permit in 30 days.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, as far as I know.
All right, and that's the only thing that's required as far as this case is obtaining the permits?
Correct.
Mr. Kupke, first, Christine, if I could just ask one question, if you could possibly revisit the previous order that you imposed us to the lien unit. And only so I'm asking that is, while I appreciate the consideration and the decision that there is a, that they're doing improvements on the property, it's highly regular for us. Or someone who, for when a lien, when a foreclosure is imposed after the fact, after the inspectors put more than a year into a case back starting in 2008 and trying to remedy a situation, for they're not at least at the minimum, at least some administrative remedy that would cover the cost of other work and efforts of the inspector. And in this case, a full waiver just seemed
generous.
Yes, extremely generous.
Do you want to be heard?
Yes, I mean, this property is deteriorating, and every dollar that's not used to improve the property and repair it takes away from the potential incentive to get it done in a timely manner. So, again, all of these issues that the city has, I certainly understand they're the prior owner, the person that owned the property prior to the foreclosure. So dealing with this lien will assist the current owner in getting the property renovated and back up to speed so that something can be done with it and it doesn't just sit vacant.
I can just have one response to that.
Sure.
Just one other thought. While I have tremendous respect for Mr. Simpson, the things he's saying makes a lot of sense to me. What we have is an owner who, after the fact, initiated work without permits, knowing what the circumstance was. And now, in essence, holding us hostage to the extent of what we do, whether they continue something that was for their benefit, because ultimately it will be for the owner's benefit to improve and better this property. And I understand that $70,000 is no good reason for them to put that effort in, but at a major reduction of the lien, something as simple as $1,500 or $2,500 and as a major reduction to the lien, I think it would still be a tremendous incentive to improve the property and make it beneficial. Once again, as it was for them during that whole period that they were unfortunately using it contrary to code.
Okay. Well, I'm sensitive to the city's position that they ought to be compensated to some extent for every one of these cases, because obviously they have to apply their manpower to every one of these cases. Notwithstanding that, the fact of the matter is we have two owners, so we have two different sets of circumstances here. And the first owner, who clearly was culpable, and like I say, should have been taken out back and flogged, was the one primarily responsible. We have an order entered effective April 2 imposing $100 per day. Now, I'll grant you that owner never obtained a notice of compliance, but the fact remains that we know that sometime between April 2 of 2008 and sometime before the end of April, the property was brought into compliance. Now, if that owner were brought here, and if the city were of a mind to pursue a fine for the number of days between April 2 and whenever they vacated the property, the argument about how, at a minimum, the city ought to be reimbursed expenses would be compelling and probably prevail. Since we have a different owner, since we have some uncertainty as to when the property came into compliance, since it was within a relatively short period of time of the fine, which is the triggering mechanism, that enables us to talk about fines and then subsequently lien reviews, and then in conjunction with, but by no means most importantly, the fact that we have a new owner who's now going to be committing resources to improving this property, in the grand scheme of things, I don't have a problem. Anything else?
Nothing else.
Anything else? Okay. Respond with regard to case number 15. The respondent will be in compliance. July 7, 2010, will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day delay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number one, Five Star Central Florida Incorporated. Yes, sir, if you would please state your name, be sworn.
Brad Shepard.
He's always read the testimony you're about to provide us, the truth and whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Progress to report is there has been a foreclosure judgment that was entered, and there is a foreclosure sale scheduled for June the 18th, at which time U.S. Bank figures that they're going to be the one ending up with title to the property. There is a binding contract in place with the Housing Authority. And looking for an end, mid to end of September closing date on that.
Okay, can someone enlighten me what happened to Five Star of Central Florida Incorporated?
They're being foreclosed out.
Okay. And they're still the only respondent we have in this case?
Yes.
Okay, because we're getting ready to step into another situation now where we're going to have a lender who's going to show up and he's going to say, we shouldn't be tagged for Five Star Central Florida, and somebody's going to get mad at me if I don't recover at least the administrative expenses, and I can understand that. So, where's Five Star Central Florida, and why do we not have the lender involved in this? I assume, what did you call it, U.S. Bank?
U.S. Bank, correct.
U.S. Bank. So
there's
the
a...
That's the mortgagee?
Yes. There's a receiver in place on the property.
So now I think Tony's probably going to tell me the reason we didn't do that is because there's a bankruptcy involved?
Yes, and I'm seeing on our order where Amy has indicated having CC the Laos law firm, which I believe Brad Wood, I believe may have been part of the bankruptcy, if that's, I'm not sure. But I know we CC two different individuals because of our knowledge of what was going on with the bankruptcy and the receiver. You may recall, I guess the last time, it's not the time before last we were in there, we did have some documents, and then maybe in this large set of stuff we have here, that indicated to us that there was a receiver that had been appointed and that there was a bankruptcy action and that there would be more things occurring that we were waiting for as part of the reason why we had the expected progress report. So, yes, there's knowledge. What the addition, I think we weren't ready to add then because we really didn't have new obligation, new people who are newly obligated under the, as a matter of law. And I guess when the foreclosure occurs, then we won't have those additional people obligated under the
So when the foreclosure occurs, the mortgagee might possibly become a respondent at that point. But you're telling me as soon as the mortgagee obtains its certificate of title, it plans on contracting with the Housing Authority?
Correct.
To sell this property to the Housing Authority?
There is already a contract in place.
Okay, so there's a contract in place. Now it's the mortgagee's turn to deliver. We're waiting on the mortgagee to deliver the title.
Yeah, after the foreclosure sale.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and if there's more information that I'm being reminded of, and that's that somehow, some way, the city is in the middle of trying to facilitate what's happening with the Housing Authority and this whole exchange. And I know that our office is involved, I think, with Bob Jagger. So we'll have more knowledge and more information by the time we come back here and make whatever changes we need in terms of parties to bring some clarity to what we actually ultimately stand in terms of who's responsible for what.
You say there's a foreclosure sale on the 18th?
Yes, sir.
And Ms. McKelvey, I believe Amy may have more information that can be
used. I just remember Mr. Jagger working with that, the negotiations for the sale of the property. I think there was
What does compliance ultimately consist of in this case? These properties are going to be renovated?
Yeah, they're going to be renovated.
Taken down, demolished?
Renovated.
So at some point, the Housing Authority is going to be assuming responsibility for renovating.
Right, and they're saying about like a year compliance date after that, once they take actual property, the title of the property.
Okay. I'm just trying to imagine the outcome of this particular matter. It's looking like right now, if I continue to our July 13th meeting, by July 13th we'll have a new owner. That'll be the U.S. Bank?
Correct.
That'll be U.S. Bank, because they will have had their foreclosure sale on June 18th, and within 10 days after that, they will have got their certificate of title. So at that point, we'll have a new owner. But then I guess there's a contract between them and the Housing Authority. Assuming the Housing Authority closes on that contract, does the Housing Authority become a respondent, or does this case get dismissed at that point?
Probably be compliance.
No, we'll be compliance. We still have all those things done. That's undecided at this point. I have a...
Here's the city's involvement. Tell me what you want me to do with this thing.
Yeah, at this point, there has not been a decision as to where we're going with COVID as related to everything else that's going on. I'm scheduled to meet with Mr. Jagger to get some clarity on what the city's doing in the other realms. We have a huge water bill and other things that we're working on as they're working on everything. We've had cases where we've had the Housing Authority or other entities as the respondents. That very well may be the situation that we prefer in this case. I don't know. So at this point, if we can just... My preference would be to continue, I guess we'll call it, the progress report to July and evaluate our status in July after the judicial sale. Once, you know, with all judicial sales, you have a presumption that it's going to end up the way, and we would expect it's going to end up with U.S. Bank. But who knows, maybe some speculators don't get excited.
Well, all we do is take baby steps then. I'm going to continue this matter to the July 13, 2010 meeting. And my anticipation is that at the July 13, 2010 meeting, we'll be joining or adding a new respondent. And that is whoever holds title to the property. And then a month from now, maybe we'll have a little clearer picture as to what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. So hate to keep bothering you, but I need you to come back on July 13th and explain to me the status at that point. I assume U.S. Bank at that point will be the owner of the property, and then hopefully someone will speak for them. It may very well be you, as far as where we're going. Because I'm not smart enough to figure it all out. Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
Case number 2, 400 Beach Street Acquisitions, LLC. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent?
Morning. Charles Bryant with the Redevelopment Department. As of this morning, I talked with Mr. Paul McKittrick, and he informed me that the city is still in negotiation with the property owner on this piece of property. The city is planning to purchase the property. We do have already a demolition company that we did a bid out to have a property, a portion of the property demoed. There were some issues that came up, and the city is still in negotiation with the property owner to purchase the property.
I guess we'd like to continue it till next cutoff and for another progress report.
All right, I'll go ahead and continue this matter to our July 13, 2010 meeting for another progress report. Hopefully by then we'll know a little bit more and be able to make some kind of decision. In the meantime, thank you for your effort. We'll see you July 13th.
Thank you.
Case number 3, Mohammed M. Kabaze. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's see.
Mr. Ficozzi, there has been no change on the property since the last hearing. There are current pictures there, but it looks the same. I've had no contact with him. In fact, when I was on the property...
Is that his trash I'm looking at?
Yes. In fact, when I was on the property day before yesterday, there was another individual out there. $100 a day.
I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent. Was the property ever secured to city standards?
It's not secure.
Property was supposed to be in compliance on March 3. Does that sound about right? And then after that, I have several continuance.
The imposition of a fine action has been continued for approximately, I believe, since March.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent. It's on $100 per day, commencing March 3, 2010, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance. Case number 4, Shawanda Denise Williams. Okay. Mr. Inspector, are you getting my progress report?
No progress report. No contact.
All right. It's here for a progress report or to set a compliance date.
Compliance date of next month, next cutoff if possible.
All right. I'll go ahead and order the respondent to be in compliance by July 7, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 5, Carrie Burnett Smith Ramsey.
I do.
You state your name, please.
Bernard Debbie Smith, Jr.
Okay, you have some progress to report.
Well, not a whole lot. We were able to get the property taxes paid. That was a requirement. We have not cleared title yet. This title has been a complete mess. They have me being married to my mother. They have me being married to my sister. So it's just a complete mess. So we haven't been able to get any further with community development yet because the title has not cleared. So I'm in the process of still trying to get that done. I just need a little more time. It's just a mess. I didn't realize we've been working with Integrity Title, and they have a lien placed on this property that was not in my name, and the lien is in my name placed on a piece of property. And this was done in December 21st of 2000, and it's just going to take me a little time to get this title cleared.
What's in the city? I have spoken with community development, and they are not allowed to give assistance until that title is cleared. I really couldn't even give you a guess on how long that's going to take.
Okay, is this the way the exterior is still appearing?
This is currently the way it looks.
Yeah. There's nobody there. It's boarded up in and outside, so no one can get in. So I don't have the problem I had with vagrants that I used to have.
Is this the same property that we're looking at, we're talking about here?
There's two properties. There's 210 and 214. That's the 214 property.
That's the 210.
And then you have the single family home right next door to it.
Right.
Okay, is the exterior being maintained?
It's as much as possible. I mean, we're depending on this aid from the city through the community development, and of course they can't move any further until I get this title cleared, and I'm on it every day.
The city to cut the grass.
What's that?
You don't need aid from the city to cut the grass.
Oh, no, that's true. The grass has never been in this kind of shape before until now. It has never looked like that.
Okay, what is the city? What are the city's thoughts with regard to this property that we continue forward for an indefinite period of time, since we don't know when title issues will be?
Well, let me. I have been in touch with the clerk of the court as recently as yesterday. And she has discovered some information that we're going to approach the title company with that we didn't know anything about until yesterday. So I'm hoping that this thing can be resolved in a timely fashion. Now, how timely that fashion? Hopefully within the next 60 days. But it has been such a nightmare that we're realizing there's stuff on this thing that should never be on there. And we're going to clear it up. It's just time. I just need a little more time.
Is the property secured?
It is secure.
But the exterior is not being maintained?
The grass definitely needs to be maintained.
Well, I have grass maintained as early as tomorrow morning.
Let's do that. All right, we'll go ahead and continue this matter to our July 13, 2010 meeting. And in the interim, the property is to remain unoccupied. It's to remain secure to city standards, and the exterior needs to be maintained.
Right.
So let's get somebody out there to pretty up the outside as much as possible while we work with you.
Right.
Get you the time you're asking
right.
for to square away your title issues.
Right.
And hopefully get this property going in a forward direction.
Well, I appreciate
all
that.
All I would ask is that you kind of help the city out here and kind of maintain the exterior so we can kind of cushion the blow on the neighborhood as much as possible while you work out your title issues. All right, we'll go ahead and continue this matter to the July 13, 2010 meeting. At that point, you can let us know where you stand as far as your title issues.
Yes.
Hopefully some commitment to get this property going forward as
yes.
far as compliance is concerned.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Do you have something else you wanted to add?
I'd like to see that property on the trespass arrest site program.
What's that?
On the trespass arrest site program, you have to go down to the police department and sign the property up.
Oh, okay. I need to meet with you on that then. I don't know how to do that.
All right, thank
you. Okay.
Very good. All right, good luck to you.
Okay.
Case number 6 is in compliance. Case number 7.
Quick, go back to 6.
I think that the inspector would like to be heard regarding.
Number 6.
Okay.
Just in case he comes back with a trailer or the semi.
Responding here. Okay. Was the respondent told he was in compliance?
Yes. Well, I left a notice at his door, but.
Okay. You're going to want to talk about a will find now after the respondent was told he was in compliance?
Yes.
Tony, can we do that?
No, but was he advised that you'd be asking for a will find?
Yes. Yes. I don't think he understood the procedure, but I explained it. Well, I left a note at his door. I didn't really explain it.
That should be coming back to
right.
The state for a will find.
Will find.
That's really the thing that I think from a due process
okay.
Should be made aware of
that. Yeah, I'm not comfortable with it, so let's, if we continue this to the next meeting, does that allow?
I'll go back up.
Cure all our procedural doubts?
Yes, it would.
All right, then with regard to case number 6 yes. Regarding Horace Mack, I'll continue this matter to the July 13, 2010 meeting. And it's my understanding
thank
that
you.
At that point the city will be looking for the imposition of the will.
Yes, sir.
Very
thank
well.
You.
We'll deal with it then. Thank you. Case number 7, James Cotton Jr. and Rebecca Cotton. For a progress report. Are you supposed to give me my progress report, or do we have somebody here on behalf of the respondent?
She's coming.
All right.
You saw my sort of testimony about
yes.
State your name for the record, please.
Rebecca Cotton.
And let's hear from the city first.
We're here for a progress report, and I have contacted the community development office. Specs have been written. The case is now with the purchasing department ready to be sent out for bid. Once it goes out for bid, there's about 30 days for the bids to come back. So progress is being made. We're along in the process. It looks like the work is going to be done, and rather than bring her back next month for another progress report, I'd like to come back in August and see where we are then. But it's progressing nicely.
Okay. Anything you wanted to add to that?
No.
The inspector's pretty much covered it.
Yes.
All right. So we're coming back August 10th for what? Progress report or compliance?
Progress report.
All right. I'll go ahead and continue this. Based on the report of the inspector, I'll continue this matter to our August 10, 2010 meeting for another progress report. And hopefully at that point in time, perhaps setting a compliance date.
Yep.
Very good. Okay, thank you. Good luck to you.
Case
number 8.
Just some clarification. The prior order said date will be on the June 8th agenda for consideration of any system of file. Was that an error?
Okay.
Okay.
Case number 8,
Phyllis Hatton. Good morning.
Good morning.
Jim Harvin.
Is the testimony here about the provides to your civil group and nothing but the
truth? Oh, firm.
Okay, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine. What's in the city?
Mr. Pecoza, this started off as a police complaint. In fact, I believe that there's two other cases on this property that are already in the lien process. I've been out there for numerous re-inspections, and I cannot see any progress being made. Last time I was out there, they asked me for some more time, which is generally what he asks me every time we go out there. So, the city will be looking for fine of $50 a day, be capped at 20.
Okay. And your name, sir?
Jim Harvin.
All right. Mr. Harvin, you here on behalf of Phyllis Hatton?
I am.
In what capacity? Are you like a tenant? Or?
No, I'm her husband.
All right. Okay, what say the respondent?
I apologize for my health condition, which has prevented me from doing all that I thought I would be able to do in the time allowed it. I'm unable to hire anybody to assist me in the cleanup, so I have to do a little bit at a time myself. Mr. Stinson said he doesn't see any improvement, but I've done quite a bit in the front. I've tried to remedy the painting situation, the peeling paint. I've placed paint on the front. I've removed several things from the front. I've trimmed bushes and trees and everything out front, and also removed a bit of the storage stuff that was in the back. When he came, I believe it was yesterday, he came and I had a trailer out front which I was attempting to put some stuff on to remove from the scene. And he told me that he hadn't noticed any progress at all. My neighbors have told me that they have seen progress and things are looking a whole lot better. But apparently they are seeing from different eyes than Mr. Stinson. I recognize the authority of this tribunal, the power that's given to it by the city charter. I in no way try to defy or in defiance of the city code. But as I said, because of my health problems, I'm doing the best I can trying to remedy the situation. The papers I gave you showed you the situation that we find ourselves in, which is more or less up against a wall, in a hole, upside down, half filled with quicksand. We already have fines imposed by the city which have made it impossible to get a refi on the house, also made it impossible to try to sell the house. I can't go to community development or redevelopment to try to get any grants to assist in the repair of the house because of the liens against the house. So I'm just more or less in one of those throw the hands in the air, what am I to do situation. I'm working on trying to clear it up the best I can, as fast as I can. I bought paint and started painting, and as I painted, I ran out of paint, so I had to wait till I get some more money to get more paint. I started repairing the fence that he said that needed, there were missing parts. So I started putting the top rail on the fence. And like I said, I just throw my hands in the air. I just don't know what else I can do other than work on it a little bit at a time. Because of my health condition, I was out of work for a period of time, unemployed, laying in the bed trying to recuperate from quadruple bypass surgery. Everything fell behind. We went into foreclosure. So we did everything we could to get out of foreclosure. So we got out of foreclosure. And like I said, nobody don't want to do anything unless you pay them. So I have no one to help me on moving the stuff. So I have to do a little bit at a time as I can do it myself. If you take it to the landfill, I have to pay the dump fees at the landfill. If I set it outside for the garbage man to pick up, they give me a big bill for removing it, and after it sits out there for a week or so, and they say they can't move it unless they charge me so much to move it. So I just find myself in a situation where, what am I to do? I'm working on it a little bit at a time, but Mr. Stinson doesn't see any progress.
Well, I'm having a little hard time seeing it myself if these photographs are recent. These photographs recent?
Yes, sir. That's from 6-2, and you've got some there from 6-7.
Okay. Are you the only person that occupies this house?
My wife occupies it also. She works at night. She sleeps during the day.
She's what?
She works at night, and she sleeps during the day.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, why don't you tell me when you're going to be in compliance?
Like I said, I have to work on it a little bit at a time, and that's what I'm doing.
So now tell me, how long it's going to take you to come into compliance?
I have no idea. I really don't. I can't give you a date.
You have no idea. How do you expect me to set it to give you any sort of consideration with regard to a compliance date?
The outside storage, I can get that in compliance, hopefully in 90 days. Like I said, I have to take a little bit at a time to the landfill as I can pay to have it the disposal fee. As far as appealing paint, I'm trying to get some paint from the landfill. They have free paint out there. But I have to make sure I get matching paint, because if not, then the city will come on me for not having matching paint.
Considering the looks of the property, I don't think matching paint's going to be a big problem.
I would hope not.
Okay. All right. And what was the city proposing, the $50 fine now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, the good news is I'm going to give you 90 days. The bad news is if it's not in compliance by September 8th of 2010, you're going to have a fine in the amount of $50 per day going to effect. Okay, because what we're not going to do is we're not just going to keep coming back and doing this. It's going to be in your hands. You're either going to find a way to bring it into compliance, or I guess you can just throw another lien onto the pile and hope it all works out somewhere down the road. So right now what I'm doing is I'm amending our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until September 8, 2010 to come into compliance. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $50 per day will go into effect and will continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 9, Norman H. Riley.
Please
state your name and be sworn. Good morning. I'm Norman H. Riley.
Raise your right hand.
I couldn't hear you. I tell the truth. Okay.
All right. We are here for the imposition of a fine. What's the status of compliance, Mr. Inspector?
The property remains in non-compliance. There's been no application for permit for fencing, nor an application for an occupational license.
Okay. All right. Mr. Riley, apparently you haven't done any of the things you needed to do to come into compliance. So, with regard to the matter of the imposition of a fine, do you have any explanation as to why you're not in compliance already?
I couldn't hear you. Would you move that microphone up in front of you?
Can you tell me why you're not in compliance?
I apologize. I got so disgusted, I'll tell you, when I look around and see what's going on. There's 15 of us that's listed on here. Two of us is in compliance with a rental activity. I'd like to read you something. Concerning that rental, do you have a copy of that? I misplaced mine. There's two words in that rental ordinance that I wonder why it was put in there.
Here's the city attorney. Go ahead and ask him your question.
These two words had nothing to do with rental. I was listening to John Hagee the other day, and he was preaching on some things, the words mean things. deceive, deceitful, deception, decency, and things like that. I don't know if our city council, if they pass this ordinance for rental, or if that went before the people, and we did that at an election. Do you know if our city council did that?
Well, see, the thing is, they really don't share things like that with me. They just send me down here to enforce what's on the books. And what's on the books is being enforced right now. And you're not in compliance. Now the question is, why are you not in compliance? When do you plan on coming into compliance? Now, if your
preference, I would like to answer that. I'd like to answer it.
Just a second, Mr. Riley. If your preference is to take issue with the city as to whether this ordinance should even exist, then you would need to take that up with the city commission and the mayor, not me.
Mm-hmm.
So the question that we're here to talk about is, when are you going to come into compliance?
Let me talk to you about the fence first, okay? Let me talk to you about the fence, and then I'll go back to this, if you don't mind, okay?
Ready?
I think I'll go ahead and move the fence back unless I run into some other... This is a corner property. Unless I run into some other obstacles. But corner properties, sometimes, to my experience, have been treated differently. I've had some friends on Short Street, and come to find out that they were on a corner property, so they had two front yards, and they called a man to just wrecked his life, okay? And he happened to be a friend of mine. And so when I see these things, a lot of times there is no simple answer. On the fence situation, I've noticed that we've got a policeman is stationed in front of 340 North Street. That backs up, well, it's across the street. My property backs up on 343, I think it is, and 340 is across the street from that. The last 3 months, there was 61 calls to that address. Two of them was murder calls the last 3 months, okay? I can't have a 6-foot fence at my place. I'm just bringing out some facts, sir. Frustrated, you know, when I see things.
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a little frustrated too.
Well,
are you going to take this up with the Board of Adjustments to see if they allow you?
I think I saw that man. I told you that his dog got in a fight on Fairview with some people from Taylor Avenue, and so I didn't really want to bother him. But I think he parked. I think he parked right out here by me a while ago, and he said hello. So I guess we're still on speaking terms, and so I will mention it to him. I don't have much confidence that anything will be done. I just want to point out some hypocrisy of the things that go on, okay? Now, well, I talked right here, and my name was in the paper, of talking about not putting that homeless shelter there. And when people go home at night, you just say, I thank the Lord tonight that Norm has got that in his backyard, and I don't have it in my backyard. And I know prominent people in this town, and I hated to say things like that, but they put it in my backyard. Can I ask, do y'all drive down North Street when you go home at night?
Okay, let me ask.
That is from Seagrave to Nova Road. Does anybody here drive down North Street in the afternoon there from 4 or 5 o'clock on? I wave at all those guys, you know.
Okay, now, let me ask you a question. You know what the Board of Adjustments is?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You recall us having talked about you going to them to ask you?
Yes, sir, I do. I cannot deny it.
So special as to allow you some dispensation? Did you do that?
No, sir, I did not. I told you I ran into that guy. His dog had a little, they didn't fight with another dog right there. I hated to bother him, you know. But I'll.
Who?
One of those men on the Board of Adjustment lives on Fairview.
And so your concern is that you're not going to get a fair shake by the Board of Adjustment?
Well, I didn't want to embarrass him. I didn't want to embarrass him and try to put, you know, after something like that happening. I'm sorry. I'll go talk to him. I'll take care of that fence unless I run into a problem with Colleen, okay? Because I know that down on Short Street, it turned out that there was two backyards or two front yards on a corner property. It's just according to who you are and where you're at. Let me mention a couple other things while I got talking. I go for a walk sometimes. I give myself a little break, and I go down by the Ocean Walk and behind the band shell. I looked at the band shell there. There's a six-foot fence around two air conditioners there. The Ocean Walk is right here. Anybody that walks out of their balcony, out on their balcony, they're looking at a chain link fence. I can't put a chain link fence around my yard over there. You know. Anyway, they're wrapped up around two air conditioners, and then they've got two stainless steel or aluminum straps around the air conditioner. We live in tough times. I saw a house there a while ago that there wasn't any aluminum windows in it, you know. I felt sorry for the man. Somebody went in there and just took all his windows out. I apologize for raving and ranting, okay? I just see these things. I'll try to correct that fence, but I don't know how to challenge this thing for having a rental, okay? I paid $500 last year on Taylor Avenue. My taxes went up $500, okay? Now, I can't let a friend live in that house. I have to have a license, and that's, I guess, is what I'm talking about. Now, if there was money exchanged or something like that, I understand that I need to probably get a license or something. But I can't just use my house. I didn't pay just $500. It went up $500 last year. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I mean, you come down here to argue things to somebody who can't help you with regard to the matters you're arguing about. If I were on the Board of Adjustments, I might take into consideration the fact that part of your fence is higher and that you've got a plausible explanation for having it that way, and then I might allow it. But I'm not on the Board of Adjustments. I'm just down here telling you what does and doesn't comply.
I don't mean to put you in a bad... I know I got you in a bad position. I know that.
And when you tell me that, well, you know, I could come into compliance if I went to this Board of Adjustments, then I'll say, all right, well, I'll give you time to do that. Because I'm not here to tell you to get rid of anything. And if you want to exhaust all your legal rights to find out what you can do about that fence and whether you're required to pay for that occupational license, that's your prerogative. Go for it. Go do it. Don't come back here and tell me about things that I can't fix for you. It's other folks that you need to take those issues up with. Now, all I can do is keep the city at bay while you pursue those matters. Now, the question is, are you going to pursue those items or not?
I'll talk to Colleen about my fence, okay? And I'll talk to this boy. I know him just through a dog fight that took place. Okay. I mean, it's silly, but that's the way I know him. Okay.
And, all right. Okay. When is the next Board of Adjustments meeting? Do you know how often they meet?
They meet monthly. The application deadline used to be, and that's my knowledge of 4 years ago, so I don't know current knowledge, but it used to be something like the last Thursday of the month. So he probably would have time to try and get on the agenda if things have not changed. But if he gets on the agenda, it would be for the... Yeah, he has time to get on the July Board of Adjustment agenda, I would think, if he goes within the next week to 10 days, to my best recollection. But, and that's things have not changed.
Okay. We're not dealing with any life safety issues here, are we?
No, sir.
The next Board of Adjustment meeting, Mr. Mikelja, is June 17th.
Right. He would not have time to be on that agenda.
All right. So what's the next meeting up?
July. July 15th.
And does anybody know when you'd have to have an application for that?
Okay, I believe it's the last Thursday, but I'm not sure yet. I don't know if it's the last part of the month. Yeah, somewhere in the last week of the month.
All right, Mr. Ryle, the next Board of Adjustment meeting that you could get on will be July 15th. It's my understanding that you have up until the last Thursday of this month to file the application necessary to get onto that meeting. Although you really ought to talk to somebody. Who's he talked to about Board of Adjustments and what have you? Is it Colleen Miles?
Yes, I believe Colleen's still with the Board of Adjustments.
If you'll speak with Ms. Miles, she'll tell you exactly when that deadline is. They are the only ones that can grant you any latitude with regard to that fence. I can't. They are the ones to whom all of the circumstances that you keep relating to me will be relevant as far as that request is concerned. So I am going to continue this matter that we're here on today to my August 10th 2010 meeting. By then you will have been in front of the Board of Adjustments and you will know what their decision is. If you're back here August 10th and you have not been before the Board of Adjustments, then I'm going to make a ruling at that point in time on what's in front of you. And I'm going to remind you with regard to all of those arguments that you want to make that the proper place for those is the Board of Adjustments. They have the discretion to hear your requests. I do not. All right?
Thank you. Okay.
Good luck to you.
Yeah. Okay, Norm, you're off the program, buddy. I would like to invite y'all to travel down North Street. Just open your eyes, okay? You know what I'm talking about. Just do that for a week.
Good luck to you.
Breaks my heart. You know, I know I'm off, but breaks my heart to see what our city has become. Thank you, and I apologize if I offended anybody.
Good luck, Mr. Riley.
Thank you.
Case number 10, Johnny Evans. Okay, not seeing the respondent. What say the city?
There has been no progress. I have not heard from them since our last meeting. I think they are behind in their taxes and don't have insurance. They are not going to be able to get help from the city as long as they're behind taxes or do not have current insurance. Everything stays the same, has remained the same. I would like to set a compliance date. Can we do that without them here?
Yes.
Okay. Next cutoff. The neighbors have lived with this property since... Was it 2005 when all those hurricanes came through? So it's been quite a while.
All right, I'm going to order the respondent up. And what cutoff are you proposing?
Next cutoff.
I'll order the respondent to be in compliance by July 7, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine for up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 11, Mark Watt. in the city.
Mr. Ficozzi, this property is it's currently in compliance to property. However, his licenses are still not current. He has had to apply for a state license, and he won't get his occupational license from the city until he gets a state license. So, on that note, he is in non-compliance, and I'd like to amend this until the next cutoff to give him some time.
All right, I will go ahead and amend our current order of non-compliance to allow the respondent until July 7, 2010 to commit compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 12, WP Enterprises of Palm Beach, LLC.
Yes, sir. Compliance 5/28/2010, they received a building permit. Thank you.
Case number 13, Joseph S. and Sandra I. Palmer.
Mr. Ficozzi, I'd like to amend this case as well. The bank is now in control of the property. They've acquired roof permits, and they have begun work this morning to correct the roof violation. And as soon as the roof is done, they'll be able to apply for an occupational license.
Okay, Irv, you say the bank?
Yes, property is now bank owned. Yes.
All right. Are we adding a new respondent, or are we leaving it alone?
I believe it'll actually be in compliance, and we won't have to go that far.
All right. All right, based on the report of our inspector, I'll amend our previous order of non-compliance to allow the respondent until, did you say the next cutoff?
Yes, sir.
Until July 7, 2010 to commit compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 14, Mike Nelson.
Yes, I do.
J.
Knox, K-N-O-X, representing Mike Nelson.
All right, let's say the city.
Mr. President, the parking issue is in compliance, and occupational license has been applied for. They just haven't gotten it yet. They still have to go through the inspection process of the occupational license.
Okay, so what are you proposing?
I'd like to amend to the next cutoff, correct?
Did you want to be heard on that?
No, that's, I just, you know, I talked to Officer Stinson and he said I needed to be here just in case, so.
All right, great. All right, I'll go ahead and amend our current order of non-compliance to allow the respondent until July 7, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Case number 15, Woodley Investment Company, LLC. Yes, it was. Thank you. Case number 16, Arlene Warwick.
Hello. Good morning.
Can you say your name,
please? Arlene Warwick.
Right hand. Do you tell me about the providing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing about the truth?
Yes, I do.
Ms. Warwick, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Well, the rentals, I suppose, were... Yes, I was renting, although I did not. I was not aware of it because the city of Daytona Beach had, excuse me, had actually asked me to put a address on the back apartment. So I thought that meant they had acknowledged it as being an apartment. But since I did get the first notification, I did have the renters move out within 30 days. So as far as I knew, I was in compliance. It said there were reinspection dates that I was not aware of. on April 5th and April 19th, and I was not aware that there were any reinspection dates, or I would have been glad to meet someone there to let them in to see that it was they were vacant.
Okay, what about the illegal dock construction extension and the illegal conversion of single-family residence to a triplex?
Okay, that's the... I didn't convert any of it. I bought it that way. It was that way when I bought it. I was given 30 days to remove the extension of the dock, which I had papers from the state that were given to the previous owner saying he had an exemption or a variance, whichever it is, to put that extension on. I was given 30 days to do that, and my neighbor went and got a demolition. Was able to get a demolition permit, the word, I couldn't think of it. And before the 30 days was up, he came and took the dock down, or part of the dock down, took the materials and sold them to the new owner of the house next door. So the person that was living there actually went, demolished my dock, and sold it. So the city gave them a permit to do that when they also gave me a permit that didn't I had 30 days, and within that 30-day time frame, they gave another permit to the neighbor to demolish my dock or part of my dock.
All right. What's going on, Mr. Inspector?
Good morning, Mr. Petrelja. This case came in 3/4 of 2000. From a direct referral from zoning. In specifics, it was the construction of a dock that was denied permits based on timing and repairing property boundaries. That this particular dock of hers was initially applied for, approved by DEP, but denied by the city because it did not stay within the realm of the DEP permit process or blueprint. And where that riparian rights line was drawn, apparently that was done through the building when they applied for the demo permit and removed it. So that is, for us, for code enforcement, that is no longer an issue. The applications, and this is all done back in 2000. So I have no idea who in between 2000 and when I showed up did the construction, but the residence was turned from a single-family dwelling to a duplex, and a garage that was a permit construction was also turned into an apartment. Now, the original permits for the garage state by the property owner at that time, this will not be used as a residence, as a garage, only in storage. When I was there, it was a nice apartment. It's a front room, living room, dining room, bathroom. So when I talked to zoning, all that stuff has to come out, as well as the partition walls in the single family that was turned into a duplex. Now, I did talk to this property owner not too long ago, and her interest was to apply for a variance to try to get a mother-in-law in the residence, which is separate from the garage. And also, at that time, she wants to try to leave a bathroom in the garage, which is rather large, which is not uncommon. But at this point, the rental is in compliance because nobody's living there as a rental. The dock is in compliance because it was permitted, removed, and is now within the riparian property lines. At this point, the only thing left is the return of the single-family dwelling to a single-family and the removal of everything that makes them a multifamily dwelling. The original permit was actually a permit to turn the house itself into a four-bedroom, but still maintain single-family.
All right. So, Ms. Warwick, apparently what we have left to deal with is the previous illegal conversion into a multifamily complex, so to speak.
Okay.
So, how much time are you going to need to do whatever it needs to do to bring that back?
Okay, I never converted it.
I understand that.
Okay, I do not have the funds to convert it back. It is for sale now. And I can, remove the refrigerator and stove and so on so no one will live there. That's fine with me. But I do not have the funds to remove everything because I don't have the funds. I can't rent it, and it's, as you know, the taxes have gone up over the past few years, so I've been doing everything I can to make ends meet. As far as not renting it, that's fine. And like I said, I can remove the stove and the refrigerator to assure you that no one is living there. And basically, that's all I know I can do.
Is it just the garage we're talking about as far as the illegal conversion?
No, sir. The residence itself actually has partition walls up as well that separates living quarters in it, as well as the garage is a rather extensive, a rather nice apartment.
Well, there's a stairway in the main house that goes to the downstairs area, and there again, that is, there's access from the upper floor to the bottom floor. So there's, I don't know what you mean to the extent of partition walls. Because there is access, there's a stairwell that goes, it's not, they're attached inside. There's not a, they're not walled off.
Are they door, they're doored off?
There, it's, yeah, there's a door there.
Locked.
Well, there's a lock on it, I'm sure, because most doors have locks. But, I mean, if that's a problem, I can remove the door. I have, that's fine. And I don't need to rent it. I just want to sell it. I just can't afford to remove everything from the house and so on and so forth, if you know what I'm saying. That's going to be rather expensive. So as far as leaving it, either the back part non-rented, fine, and then if I could get that to be a mother-in-law's apartment, I don't even know what that entails, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm selling it. I don't need to rent it anymore anyhow.
All right. Well, you're going to have to take up with the city
what the minimum is.
You're going to have to do.
Okay.
In order to convert this back to a single family residence.
Okay.
Of course, to convert the garage back to a garage. From what I'm hearing, it's not unusual to have a bathroom in garage, whatever.
Right, and there it is a garage. Yeah.
It can be a living unit. And more importantly, we can't have this property change hands and just perpetuate this situation.
Okay.
This has to be stopped at some point in time. So in any event, with regard to your notion as to what has to be done to come into compliance, how much time would be required?
Nothing has been done, correct?
Except there's no one living there.
I would say approximately 60 days. It's going to take a while to get the permit because the contractor is going to have to remove and cap the plumbings and all the issues that make it a multifamily dwelling in the house as well as the garage, and then she's going to have to figure out if she can get away with or get an approval for the mother-in-law and basement and the bathroom in the garage.
What does that entail, capping it?
A plumber.
And I know.
They cut and cap.
So it's a fairly simple solution?
It's not extensive, but yes.
Okay.
It can be done. So that's why 30 days for the permit and another 30 days for the contract construction removal. Much longer than that.
All right. The inspector suggests 60 days should be enough for you to come into compliance. What do you have to say to that?
Which would be, can you tell me again what that would be, capping the water?
Okay, you know what?
I'll talk to him later.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I don't want to.
Right, I understand.
Try to convey to you what has to be done on the cuff, because it may be a little bit more involved than that, and it would behoove both of you to get together.
Okay.
Find out what you have to do to satisfy the city.
Okay. I have one question. What do I do about the dock removal that was removed? I had a 30 days, didn't I, to do something on my own, and it was removed. I mean, it was pretty much removed without giving me a chance to remove it. I could have used the money from the pilings to fix up or to convert the place back to how it was.
I don't know who took your pilings, and I don't know what they did with them.
They sold them to the neighbor.
The city didn't take them.
No, the city gave my neighbor a permit. Or a demolition permit, which they had given me the time to 30 days to remove it. Within that 30 days, within like 20 days, they gave my neighbor a demolition permit, which he took down part of the dock and sold them to the person who now owns the house. In other words, he took my part of my dock. I could have used that to put the house back into its the order it was supposed to be in. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, quite frankly, no, I don't. Because I guess I'm just not understanding these properties, where your neighbor is, where the dock is, who has the right to the dock. But in any of that, that's between you and your neighbor. As far as this particular item is concerned, it's in compliance at this point in time.
Correct.
So it's no longer a concern of you as far as we're concerned. All right, so right now it's a matter of the illegal conversion. All right, I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by August 4, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Get with the city to find out what has to be done for you to come into compliance.
Okay.
Assume nothing. Get with them.
Okay.
Ask them your questions. I understand you want to do the minimum necessary, but there are two things. Number one, it needs to be brought into compliance. And number two, we can no longer allow the perpetuation of these illegal conversions that people such as yourselves inherit that are forced to deal with.
I have one other question. Upon the sale, I will do the minimum because I can't afford it. What if, like, upon the sale, I then took part of the sale money and used it to convert it with the people buying it, understanding that it can't be used that way? Just because I don't know if I can afford to make all these changes.
Okay. I don't know what to tell you.
Speak with the
city.
Okay.
Find out what sort of latitude they'll allow you. I don't know what to tell you in that regard.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you. Case number 17, I have been in compliance. Case number 18, Harold W. Hunter Sr. and Lisa Hunter Davis.
No.
Seeing a respondent, what say the city?
I've had no contact and still no application for a rental license. Non-compliance. Next cut off.
All right. I found the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by July 7, 2010, or be, what are we doing, fining them the $250, or be fined the amount of the $250 administrative fee. Case number 19, Shirley Oldenburg.
She's not going to be here.
Okay, what's in the city?
Ms. Oldenburg is now living in an assisted living facility up north. I've been in contact with her family members who state that they don't have the ability to come down here and to maintain the property. I have to assume that it's vacant right now. That's just because that... I posted the property for the notice of hearing. It's still there. It's been there now for well over a week. The person who was living there apparently is gone. I did tell the family that the property needs to be secured and maintained. They have a reverse mortgage on the property, and they're trying to get the bank to take it back because they just don't have the resources to take care of it. And that's pretty much where the case is right now.
That sounds encouraging.
I really don't want to say next cutoff for compliance because I have no idea how long that would take for the bank to get back involved.
All right, well, let's just go by the numbers based on the work that you saw that needed to be done. How much time would you think would be reasonably required?
For the work, the next cutoff.
All right, I find the respondent, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent in non-compliance. And let's go to August, just in case somebody surfaces, and order the respondent to come into compliance by August 4, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 20, Dimitri Crafton Cato. Sir, can we please state your name
before? Derek George, on behalf of my aunt.
Yeah, I'm sorry, can you see
Derek George.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Please hold on.
about to provide, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mr. George, you have authority to appear today on behalf of Mr. Cato?
Ms. Cato. She's
Ms. Cato.
Yeah. It's my aunt.
Pardon?
It's my aunt.
Very good. All right. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, I did.
All right. I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time do you think would be required for the respondent to come in compliance?
They could be in compliance by the next cutoff.
Non-conforming use, outside storage, outside activities, no occupational license.
Yeah, I did. And I brought my neighbors here, too. And I had some neighbors write letters for me. The yard is clean, the fence is up. I had an issue with, I had a drop up on the canopy that was up for 10 years, and some odd reason I had to take it down. You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's been up 10 years.
Okay, what is the nature of the violation? I see a non-conforming use. What does that mean?
Non-conforming use is the running of the business of the cooking.
And he says he doesn't cook.
I don't. Well, I barbecue, but I'm not cook. Okay.
Okay. He says he doesn't cook. So are you suggesting he's cooking for profit or cooking for fun?
Definitely cooking for profit.
All right.
Without a doubt.
So if we prohibit that and he's not doing it, he doesn't care, right?
Yeah, I'm not cooking for profit.
Exactly. Hold on.
The outside activity was that the cooking was going on right there on the property. The canopy has been removed. The outside storage has been cleaned up. Unfortunately, he still doesn't have a license. The only license on record for that property is for a landscaping business.
I've been sold.
I've never seen any landscaping business.
I sold.
Anyway, the actual issue was the fact of the cooking. The cooking on that location. There's a trailer right there in the picture. Get it all outside. Mm-hmm. You've seen it all over the city. Unfortunately, they usually begin the process on property, which they're not licensed to do, which would be the non-conforming use.
Okay, what say Mr. George?
Well, like I say, you send a letter, I barbecue, our family, friends, everybody come over to the house. I got 8 kids myself. You can see the swing set. He came over to see my son out playing. It's just, I'd rather cook at home than be standing on the street corner selling drugs. I mean, it's just that
someone's
I cook
at home.
Someone's
got the notion in their head that you're cooking.
Exactly.
As a business.
Exactly. I used to have a business. I used to have me and my partner had a seafood market at one time. We let that go. I had a lawn service. I let that go. That's why I sold a trailer, the lawnmowers, and everything. That's why you see me at home. You know, I'm not hardly ever home, but, you know, I barbecue all the time. That's what I mean, I like to cook barbecue, plain and simple.
Okay, but you barbecue for yourself, your friends, your neighbors?
Yeah.
And you're not charging
them? No.
Okay, let's say the city.
The city disagrees.
City disagrees, okay. You got somebody who's going to testify that he's...
Well, I mean, the trailer's been at the police station.
Well, I ain't saying I didn't sell, period, but I mean, I've sold before, yeah. Okay. But I'm not around here.
What's the activity that's happening at the house?
That's right.
The cooking of the food that he sells to wherever, whomever, the process begins right there on the property at Washington Street. That's a well-traveled street. I have to go down that street every day. And you can see the smoke billowing from the Get It While It's Hot trailer.
So do I need to just go elsewhere and cook for my family off my trailer?
Okay, I'm trying to gauge the severity of this violation here.
Well,
he starts this oversight. Is that whole thing a grill?
No, just the front part of it. It's just a grill up front.
The problem is, he's saying that he's cooking for his family or friends or whatever. However, I mean, if you're going to cook for your friends or family, then you're having a family barbecue somewhere on your property. Not selling barbecue at the police station or any other location at the city.
Mm-hmm. So your complaint is he's starting the process there at the property, although he may be ending it elsewhere.
Yes, sir.
That's a violation?
And that creates, as a practical matter, that creates what kind of a problem?
It's a non-conforming use of a residential property to cook food for sale, be it at that location or some other location. He's not cooking dinner. He's preparing these meals for sale.
Here's a, I bought a neighbor that can...
Okay, I see your neighbor. Just a second. I'm trying to get my arms around this. All right, why don't you tell me how much of this cooking... Okay, forget friends and neighbors at your house. Do you also prepare meals or food to be sold elsewhere?
Yeah, I go out of town a lot.
And do you use that trailer and what is that, a smoker on it?
Yeah, it's a smoker.
Okay, use that trailer and use that smoker?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you actually sell food from that site or do you
no.
take the food elsewhere?
I get it started there and I go, you know, different places.
So you'll light the fire.
That's what I do.
You'll get the cooker going.
Yep.
And that's... Smokers take a while to get going.
That's right.
I understand it.
Yes, sir.
I'm no expert. And then you take it all elsewhere.
Yes, sir.
And that's where you do the actual food preparation?
Yes.
Any of the food preparation being done at the house?
No.
No food preparation?
I get the food. I have it in my cooler on the back of that same trailer. It's a cooler back that I have stuff in it. I mean, that's how I do it.
You're packing your cooler, you're lighting your smoker, and then you're taking the whole shebang somewhere else.
Yes, sir.
To do business.
Yes. A lot of times I'm hardly even home. That's why this man never could catch me. Because if you look, I'm always out volunteering. I do different activities, not just for myself, my family. I do my family reunions this month. It ain't just I do a lot of volunteering as well. So it ain't just like I feed my neighbors.
Okay.
I'm just not here trying to be a part of the problem, trying to be part of the solution.
Back over here. Alright. So, are you disputing what he's saying as far as the extent of his activities?
Yes.
You are. Okay, you're saying he's doing more than that?
Yes.
He's actually doing food preparation on site?
Correct.
Okay.
In the past, we've seen bright yellow, orange neon signs.
On the back of the trailer.
Hot fish, get it while it's hot. Right then and there.
All right, you realize you can't cook and sell food from that location.
That's what I realize that.
All right. You realize he's suggesting that you're doing just that. You're telling me you ain't doing that.
That's right.
So if I prohibit you from doing that, that's not going to mean a whole lot because you're not doing it anyway.
That's right.
I assume the city at some point is going to be looking for a will fund.
At some point in time, correct.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, I feed my neighbors. I don't charge these people nothing. I mean,
I don't think that's an issue. That's not an issue, is it? Well, I mean, I'm asking. I don't mean to sound accusatory here.
The issue is the activity going on there.
Like I said, I can easily stop.
I understand no commercial activity in a residential area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, if the man wants to have a Texas-sized barbecue out there to feed his neighbors,
and on top of all of this, he has no food license.
Okay. Only thing I have
for another day is
I got a food safety island when I had.
And is there anything that prohibits him from keeping that trailer at that location?
No. Since then, that's a current picture from yesterday. He's removed the illegal canopy, and he's moved the trailer into the carport. So the property is practically in compliance, as long as the activity doesn't occur. Okay.
So is it a crime for me to have my family? Because I'm coming from a large...
First off, no, it's not a crime here at all. All right. Have I already found the respondent to be in non-compliance? Pardon?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by July 7, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
What do I have to do?
I remember telling you, filing a non-compliance, so if you
I'll
go ahead and find the respondent to be in non-compliance, and order the respondent to come into compliance by July 7, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. So now, having done all that, if you're not preparing and selling food from that location,
okay,
then you're not going to be in violation.
Yes, sir.
Now, what the city's going to be looking for at some point is a will fine, okay, meaning, okay, maybe he's not doing it now, but he might do it again in the future.
Okay.
And if he does, we want to find him.
Okay.
All right. And that'll be put in place.
Okay.
I just want you to be clear that there's nothing that I'm aware of that prohibits you from feeding friends, neighbors, family all day long.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you're talking about the preparation of food at that location, even though it is being sold elsewhere,
okay,
that's a commercial activity that's prohibited in a residential area.
Okay.
Now, when we start talking about starting the fire, getting ready to go somewhere else, you know, then we're slicing it pretty fine, and I don't know that I would have a problem with that, to be perfectly honest with you, but whatever. I guess we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But as it stands right now,
okay,
there can be no preparation of food at that location.
Yes, sir.
For commercial distribution.
Yes, sir.
Have I said this correctly?
Yes.
Am I leaving something out that you guys want to hear or say?
Nope.
I have no problem.
Here's your opportunity to speak up. Okay. I don't know that I'm totally understanding this, but all right. So, now, you will call the inspector between now and July 7th. He'll come out, he'll inspect the property, he'll see you're not doing anything, there will be a notice of compliance, and at that point he'll be asking for a will fine. I can't address that at this point, is that correct?
You can address it. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't get anything.
Well, I've given him to the next cutoff, commit to compliance.
Okay, well, yeah, you'll wait for after the next cutoff. Generally, you'll wait after the compliance.
My next issue is the canopy. What makes that illegal? Because like when I bought it from Home Depot 10 years ago, I mean, when I put it together, they didn't say go to the city to get a to put it up in your yard, use it as a driveway.
You can buy an outhouse from Home Depot, doesn't mean you're allowed to put it in your front yard.
Okay, but now someone asking, what would make it legal? Do I have to put it on the side of the house, back of the house?
It's a temporary structure. It's not meant to be there permanently.
Okay, so with not saying I'm sweeping out of Joe's doors, because I got neighbors that got them up. I mean, do I go around and be like them, put it back up again?
It's a temporary. It's a temporary structure. It's not meant to be there permanently. You have any yard sale, something like that? They put the canopy up there. They have a yard sale. It's over and it's gone. It's not supposed to sit there for 10 years.
Do I get a permit to have it?
Right along with your yard sale permit.
No, it's like you don't. I mean,
you want to swear me in?
Yeah.
Okay. Deborah Lindley. Yes, I do. Lindley, L-I-N-L-E-Y. I've lived next door to him for 6 years now, and I have not seen him take any money for food. He does like to have a lot of parties. He has a lot of family and a lot of friends. He usually has two or three parties a week, but the people that come over there are so good, and he just cooks for everybody. So he brings me and Tyson a plate and my other son that used to live there. So if he is selling food, I've never been aware of it. So there is a lot of people around there a lot of times because they have parties. But as far as I guess somebody complained, but most of the neighbors I know really like him. He's been really good. We live on Washington Street. It's not a good neighborhood. He always watches out for me. So, you know, I mean,
North of Madison.
So, but, you know, when I was by myself for 6 months, he did watch out for me. He's a good person. So I just wanted to come in.
All right.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, case number 21.
Am I supposed to call you? I don't have it. Will you just be stopping by? Okay.
Case number 21, Bernard Carter. I'm seeing a respondent. What say the city?
I've actually been in contact with them, but we are in non-compliance, and we should be in compliance, but we're looking for next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to be in compliance by July 7, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for the imposition of the $250 administrative fee. Is that it?
That's it.
Case number 22, Elena and Bartholomew Lewis.
Compliance 66.
Case number 23, Jose Ortiz.
Again, non-compliance. I've been in contact. We should be in compliance next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to commit to compliance by July 7, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of the required $250 fee. Case number 24, Horace and Annette Staten.
Compliance 66.
Case number 25, Monica McCune.
Non-compliance, no contact, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to commit to compliance by July 7, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of the $250 administrative fee. Case number 26 is being in compliance. Case number 27, In Land We Trust, LLC.
Non-compliance, no contact, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be non-compliance. Order the respondent to commit to compliance by July 7, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for the imposition of the $250 administrative fee. Case number 28, Suzanne DeLasso, Kathleen J., and Leon A. Lynette.
Non-compliance, no contact, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to commit compliance by July 7, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of the $250 administrative fee. Case number 29, MC and Belinda Baines. Thank you.
morning.
Good morning. Afternoon.
Okay, folks, if you would please state your names.
MC Baines.
And I'm Belinda Baines.
You solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, do you agree this violation existed as stated in the notice of violation?
Well, we didn't know it was a violation. That goal's been there since 99 when we moved in that home. And for my son, he was 8 when we moved in there. He'll be 19 this year. And then I did receive the first notice. I didn't receive a second, but I received the first notice. But I thought it was a way to the condition, because we hadn't put a new thing up there. And then when I read it again, when I got this, I read it was because I didn't take it down. Well, it's not there now. It's been taken down. My husband is not able to do anything. He's a liver patient. But
we did take it down yesterday.
Yeah. We didn't know we was violating anything, and I don't see where it's in the way of people, because it's like nobody walks right there. I mean, I don't understand what it was saying, but it's down. The only thing right now is gotta get the guy. We paid him to get it down, but now we got to wait to get more money to pay him to move the stuff. So we're just sitting there for right now. He should be moving it sometime today or tomorrow. Okay.
I'll go check it this afternoon or tomorrow, and we should be in compliance.
Mm-hmm. It's down.
I just have to come out.
Oh, okay.
I need to go through the formalities.
But is it illegal? I mean, is it?
It was
in compliance.
Right away, which is
well, all these
and
years.
Also,
why nobody never
before.
Told us this?
Yeah, it just wasn't caught before, and I also noticed
caught.
When I came. Caught. Nobody noticed it or said anything, and I had to come out there for some other things, and I saw it. And also, I noticed Thursday when I came out, somebody in front of the neighborhood has done the same thing. They've got the notice also. They put it right.
All right.
There.
Well, let's cross.
And it's a cottage.
Okay. All right. I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by July 7, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Now. After having said all those awful things, sounds to me like you're already in compliance. As far as formalities are concerned, you just need to ask this lady to come out and eyeball it for herself.
Okay.
And she'll put a notice of compliance in the file. It'll be done, and that'll be the end of it.
Thank you.
Okay,
no fine.
Thank you. Sorry you had to wait so long.
Oh, thank you.
All right. We have already done case 30. We've already resolved the miscellaneous business. Any other business to be brought or raised?
No, we just have the workshop coming up.
What's that?
Did we tell you about the cold workshop already?
June 16th at 4 o'clock. The commission.
This is a Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
That's next Wednesday.
I'll be in trouble. Over Orlando. All right. So, are you going to be mad at me because I didn't go and hammer those poor guys for an administrative fine?
No.
That somewhere between 0 and 18 days that, I guess theoretically, the owner was still in there after he was ordered to come into compliance?
Yeah, that counts about 14, but yeah, I added it up. No.
All right. Okay. Where is Mark?
Allison? He's a security guard over at a hotel on the beach side.
Does you don't work for the city anymore?
No. Nope.
Oh. All right. Boom. We're adjourned.